Let's have some music from Carrie McNally, who's going to be playing tonight at the Kathlamet Art Festival. Oh, and by the way, the weather today, well, it's 3 o'clock, so the weather has been and still is overcast with sun breaking through, highs in the upper 60s, clouds with lows in the mid-50s tonight, Sunday and Monday. Oh, that's interesting. Saturday. And then Sunday and Monday is partly sunny with highs near 70. So it's going to be good. It's always good when you live here on the coast. And as I was saying, Carrie McNally is one of many musicians, artists, poets who are taking part in the Kathlamet Art Festival today and tomorrow, mostly at Tsuga Gallery, other parts as well. Thanks for being here. Let's have a listen.
Bluebird, sing me a song. Gray skies have been here for way too long. When I see you'll sing a song for me, bluebird, so far from home. The journey must be hard when you're alone. Just the presence of you makes me smile. Drift off the beaten track. It's up to us to live and hopefully learn. Sunshine almost always leads us back. Such a rare occasion when you show. Everybody wants to watch you sing and try to catch a glimpse of your blue wing. All of us have taken a wrong. Drift off the beaten track. It's up to us to live and hopefully learn.
Hey, that sounds like great advice. Live and hopefully learn. Thanks, Carrie McNally. Again, the Kathlamet Art Festival. And it starts at either 4:30 or 5, goes till either 8 or 9, depending what you read, and mostly at the Tsuga Gallery in Kathlamet. Well, I have my first guest here, no stranger to Coast Community Radio. Rick Crawford is here. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, and well, I'll be doing better soon.
But, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, you know what I called you? I called you the art collaborator. No, I didn't really. I said involved in art collaborations, because yeah. I'm not sure about that word collaborator. It has kind of a funny. But well, maybe you've turned it around.
We call ourselves collabers.
I like that.
Yeah. These international artist collaborations that somehow people keep inviting me to, we're just they're just known as collabs to the community that does get involved, and they are amazingly fun and amazingly inspiring. You get to work side by side with some people that are extremely well known, and some other people are just up and coming, and I'm somewhere in there in the middle.
Okay. So what does it mean? What does it mean, collab or collaboration or whatever you want to call it? How does that work?
Well, it's invitation, and they invite anywhere from 30 to 70 artists, depending on which collaboration you're at. And they look at your skill sets. They look at your body of work that you presented online. And they say, oh, yeah, we can use this person's talent. And so then...
What does that mean, use it, though?
Well, we have skill sets. Each of us has our skill sets. And so we come and we meet each other. Many of us know each other already. And we know what each other can do. And there's a what's called a resource area, or just a resource table, depends on the size of the collaboration. Mm-hmm. And it's donated items, things that other artists have brought in, things that they never finished, or just studio mess-ups. And we... knowing what each of us can do, we start looking at this stuff and saying, oh, I've already got an idea of what we can do with this. And we wind up making mixed media sculptures, which eventually at the end of the collaboration go on a live, no reserve auction, and everything gets sold.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And benefits what?
The money is seed money for the next collaboration.
So it sounds like a party.
It in a lot of ways it is, but it's an exhausting party.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually given a curfew of usually around 10 p.m. to no more banging, no more power tools.
Right. How many folks usually? I'm sure it varies. But.
The one that I'm going to in Western Australia in September, there's be 30 to 35. The Eastern Australia one that I was in last September outside of Newcastle, there was 30 of us. The French collaboration I've been to twice in Eguin, there's typically 65 to 70. The New Zealand collaboration I'm going to in March, there's usually around 70.
70?
70.
So you don't work, obviously, you don't work with most of those people.
Oh, no, no.
Small groups form. And
People approach others and say, hey, look, I found this. I have an idea. Can you do this? And can this person do that? And they, in turn, they get involved into the collaborative process, and they say, hey, what if we do this? And before you know, it's totally morphed into something way beyond what you initially thought of. And that's really fun.
And the common language is?
Art.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that
it's
was
absolutely
nice,
art.
Rick.
Well, in France, they primarily speak French.
Yes.
And I speak very, very little French.
That's what I'm thinking.
But we managed to get by.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what does this bring for you? You live here in Astoria. Do you work collaboratively here very much?
Actually, I have just finished a piece. The Hoffman Center in Manzanita has every year they have a an artist and writer collaboration called Word and Image.
Oh, yes.
Where they pair a writer and an artist at random, draw a name out of a hat, and there's 12 each. And so there's going to be an even pairing.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as the artist, am presented with the three writings that my cohort had submitted, and my cohort gets the three art pieces that I submitted. And so I look at the three pieces, the three writings, and I say, oh, this one really moves me, and I make a response piece of art towards it. And the writer does the same thing. Oh, this image really moves me, and they write a response piece. However you want to do it. And we're actually, I'm only have to make one piece, but I'm basically given it a little bit over a month to do it.
Mm.
Yeah. Luckily.
What are you working in? Because you have.
I'm primarily working in wood. I only use repurposed wood. I very, very rarely purchase materials. I work with repurposed copper, brass.
Where do you find repurpose copper because people...
Well, the last place I used to buy large pieces was in Asheville, North Carolina. There's a scrap metal dealer called Biltmore Scrap Metals, and they encourage artists to come in and poke through and buy at the resale price that they can resell it at, which is lower than regular retail.
Yeah.
And the artist gets to reuse this material. So every time I would be in town, I would go there and grab just sheets of roofing copper and wire and tubing. You never know what you're going to find. But that's what I do. I scrounge, and then I use found objects. I repurpose everything.
Well, you're on the right show today because later on I have the core people.
Right.
We'll let them talk for themselves, but we're talking recycled. In between, I have a non-recycled artist. However, he himself has been recycled many times because he's in his mid-80s. So we, you go, Ed, you do whatever you like.
Yeah.
So what do you like and maybe not like so much about collaborating with others?
Well, the one thing that always attracts me is going back to my very first collab was in New Zealand in 2011. And when I first heard about it, I didn't really know anything about it. And so I contacted two New Zealand artists that I knew, and I asked them about it. And they both said, if you go, it will change your art. And sure enough, it did, because I got exposed to the concept of fold forming metal, and particularly copper. And I'd never even heard of the process before, let alone seen it done. And I vowed that I was going to come back and learn how to do it. And I did. And friends gave me scraps of copper roof sheeting. And I realized I didn't have a lot of material to make sculpture objects. That's when I started making jewelry. And I make jewelry now, which a lot of people are aware
Beautiful.
Of. And so each time I go to these collabs, I get exposed to something else that I want to try. And they encourage you to try it right there.
Neat.
Which is, that's why I keep going back to these.
And do you find, because these are international and you have people coming from all over the world, are there, since it all comes from the heart, really... Truth is, we all have the same beating hearts, but we do have cultural influences. Do you find, can you pick out some things that would be
culturally
influenced?
My very first experience in New Zealand introduced me to the Maori, actually specific islander
Maori,
grimace, which is a way of greeting and also a way of intimidation. And I was so taken with that. Both with what I was seeing at the collab and the sculptures I was seeing around the North Island, that one of the first pieces I made upon returning back to the States was a piece called Metamorphosis, which I used to have at River Sea Gallery. It's now in my living room. And it's all about that grimace, but in a very abstract sense.
I just made a grimace right before you said that, but I didn't influence you, I'm sure. Mine had to do with my toe, not with your art. So nice. And it goes, of course, in all directions. So what? Briefly, what's your art background?
I'm self-taught. I've got an associate in basic art, but I did an emphasis in photography. I was a commercial photographer for years.
Okay.
Back in the large format days, film. I used an 8x10 Deodorf view camera on a regular basis, studio work.
Do you do any photography now?
Oh, I document all my own work.
Oh, that's handy, isn't it? Lovely. Okay, so tell us when you're going off right now. What's your first trip?
I will be flying out of San Francisco to L.A. to Perth, Australia on September 7th. And I'll be returning on October 4th, dead tired. And I get to turn right around and go down to Manzanita on October 5th for the opening reception of the Word and Image, the final presentation.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what I say on the stage with jet lag.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, too, coming from so far away, coming back, quote, home, unquote, although it's, again, in the art world, it's all home. So.
It's all home. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on doing all these shows. It must be exhausting sometimes, though.
It is exhausting, but it's also so stimulating.
Well, obviously, the balance is in its favor because you keep getting and accepting these.
I hope to go back to France in 2020.
Right. Nice. Have you been practicing your French? No.
Yeah. I do.
Close. Okay.
Like I said.
There you go. Okay, Rick Crawford, my guest. Rick, do you have any way for people to contact you if they want to know more about these?
Well, the simple thing is, since I no longer maintain a website, is my email address, which is all one word, all lowercase, Rick Crawford Studios, that's plural, @gmail.com.
Okay.
And you can see my work at River Sea Gallery.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks so much for coming in.
And thanks for inviting me.
Congratulations and have a great time.
I will.
Yeah. Yeah. I just had those Aussies visit me last week. You'll be enjoying that. Okay. I'm going to put some music on. This is special music because today seems to be a jackpot of KMUN birthdays. That's right. We have a very happy birthday to our Debbie Twombly, the Queen of Radio. Also to Marianne Myers. I'm sure she's a queen, too. And to David Paul, who does classical music. Marianne does the evening shows she's done. Yeah, she does lots of different shows, country, etc. And then I just learned of a new KMUN birthday today. A congratulations to Emmy Lou. That would be Brian and Annie's little Emmy Lou. Today's her birthday, too. We have four KMUN birthdays today. Yeah.
Rosetta. sweet Loretta Fat. She thought she was a cleaner.
Well, thanks, Brian, for finding that for me. And congratulations to you and Annie on your daughter Emily Lou's birthday. And again, that was a KMUN birthday shout-out to Debbie Twombly, Marianne Myers, David Paul, and Emmy Lou Bobanizer. Wow. We hit the jackpot today. And we hit the jackpot every week here at Coast Community Radio on Arts Live and Local because I have these fabulous guests. And I have one sitting here right now. And Ed Peterson is going to be the featured artist at the Tempo Gallery next Saturday night, which is Astoria Art Walk. I should mention that this weekend is Gearhart Art Walk, including Trails End, 68th Annual Judged Show. That's tomorrow from 2 to 5. Seaside Art Walk is 5 to 7 tomorrow. And also, the Hoffman in Manzanita has an art opening with 5 artists with the theme of sea. Wow. And tonight is Il Waco Art Walk. They decided to take a different day. So 4 to 7, 20 businesses and galleries in Il Waco, Washington. So Ed is, he's coming up early because today was the day I wanted to have him tell us about his work. Actually, you know, Ed, I already spilled the beans. I told everybody that you're in your 80s because I'm always so impressed. I remember the first time you told me that, I went, really? You look so good. You're so active. Your art is terrific. So it's a good thing.
Well, thank you.
Is it art that keeps you young or being young keeps you making art?
I think both. Thank heavens that I have it.
Well, you didn't always, though, right?
No, I've been painting since 2011.
Right. You're a new artist, but...
But I have compiled many hours. I paint, you know, because I live alone nowadays, I paint 8, 10, 12 hours a day, so...
Wow. What medium do you use?
I do all acrylics.
Acrylics, okay. So at least you're
tempted to get into oils, but...
Well, I what most impresses me is when I walk into Tempo Gallery and I see one of your immense paintings, and then to find out that you've only been painting for 7 years. How did that work? They're wonderful.
It's certainly a blessing. I don't know how it works, neither. I'm
well, Rick said
very
it's from the
blessed.
Heart. I know that's true.
But through my music background and that, I just do things with great passion. Every painting I do, I want it to be better. At my age, I don't have time to waste. I need to.
So wait, you alluded to your music background. Tell folks what you're talking about.
Oh, I taught for 45 years, and I had the blessing of performing in 22 foreign countries. So I've been behind the Berlin Wall twice, and I've been on the Great Wall of China, and did the inauguration parade and festivities for the Taiwan president.
What do you play?
Trombone.
Trombone. Wow. And where were you when you were teaching?
Snohomish, just outside of Seattle.
Okay. And how did you get to Astoria?
For our golden years.
Right.
And then our youngest son is an architect, so we designed a house for the area that we live in Rose Valley. And then we moved in less than a week, my wife was diagnosed with lung cancer and she passed away. So that's when I started painting. I spent a lot of time in the Jackson Hole, Sun Valley, Santa Fe, Taos, Palm Desert, in the galleries and museums studying styles and how artists work. And so that's been my teacher.
So for folks who are not painters and perhaps aren't even musicians, I know you had a trauma. Losing your wife was, we've talked about that. But what made you even think of picking up a paintbrush as opposed to anything else you might have done?
Those are weird things that happen in our lives that we don't control. I really don't have an answer, except that I went to Jackson Hole and was blessed to be around some nationally known Western artists, and I got to spend some time with them, and we'd never discussed brush strokes. We discussed philosophy, and so I've been blessed with that type of knowledge from those kinds of people,
mm-hmm.
and it just intrigued me, and I was curious and started in.
And you discovered that you had a talent for it.
I hope so. The one thing I do is I give it my all, and what they'll see is the best I can do today.
What's the story on you in color? Not color who's sitting out here in the lobby with us, one of our volunteers, but color on your canvas.
I use color as conversation.
Hmm.
I think, it's like when you rehearse a band or an orchestra or choir. If you're monotone all the time, your subject, they turn you off quickly. And, you need some high points and some low points, a lot of variety. And in music, to me, there's a lot of colors. Listening to Winston Marsalis last night, there's colors of when you put a flute and a alto sax and maybe a muted trumpet together, that color is different than the trombone section. So I hear and see things all in very various colors, warm and cool and... So that's what's in my painting, and I like the conflict. My philosophy is any color can go next to another color. I don't believe there's anything that you can't do. Just like in music, there's dissonance, and it's fun to have dissonance because when there's resolution, it's wow.
So, apropos of what you were just saying, before you got into the visual arts, did you think, when you were doing the music, did you think about this whole color aspect, or has that...
Well, I think I've always been into color.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Musically, I hear colors.
Mm-hmm. And you articulated, you were able to articulate.
So that's what's
appreciate this because you've given me some new question lines for next time I have a musician in the studio. I'll be talking to them about their colors.
Well, I think, it's dissonance great. And all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's so strong. And it's also in painting. And then I like the, it relates with what I paint. I have a series of ships that I'm painting right at the moment.
Oh.
And when you glance at them, you can recognize their ships. But what they're painted for is the personality and the intrigue of what's... When I drive into Astoria, mm-hmm. I look out there and these pieces of metal are floating around in the river. And then you stop and think, where has that piece of metal been?
Yeah.
What story could it tell? And then you got stop and think... Can you imagine on that ship what the cargo is? Where has it been? Where is it going? And in the most important thing that just intrigued me recently is consider the people that are on board. in that tower, there are personalities, there's sensitivities. So other than it being this awesome chunk of steel, it's an awesome vessel of human feelings. There's tears, happiness, joy. You know, what are their families like? What are their interests? So each piece of metal that's out in that harbor today, they can't be compared. They all look alike, don't they? But, you know, each one of them have that different personality, and you can't compare them.
Well, actually, if you happen to tune in Monday through Friday at 11 minutes to 9 in the morning, you will hear the ship report, and you will actually find out what the ship is. But I think we're going to have you get together with Joanne Rideout and talk about how the, well, everything you just said. I love that concept that you see beyond the hull of the ship and what it's carrying and where it came from. You're understanding somehow what's going on there. So
the ships are named, you know, I understand, for females, and so I'm doing a series that's named after five important females in my life, and that's my granddaughters.
Oh, lovely, lovely, yeah.
So when people look at my ships or my bison or I've got an interesting grain elevator, it's the personality and the meanings that are deep. I don't want you just to look at the paint surface. I want you to go beyond that.
So a week from tomorrow night, is Astoria Art Walk, and my guest, Ed Peterson, will be at the Tempo Gallery, which is also the, during the June and May season, is the home of the Astoria Music Festival, right next to Old Town Framing on Commercial. And Ed, you'll be there. Next week.
Yes.
So you'll be able to go even further with Ed next week. And will we see the ships next week, or are you working on them right now?
No. There are two ships that will be there.
Okay.
A grain elevator that's very interesting because it changes your visual concept of grain elevators.
Oh, good. Good.
And it... there's a real interesting bison that's going to appear.
Okay, and that's what I'm that's why I was interested to hear you doing ships, because I'm kind of attached to your bison, which are large, almost life size. Thank you so much for coming in, Ed Peterson. Congratulations on being part of Tempo. Is a artist cooperative. Who are the other artists there? Do you know offhand?
Yes, Thron Riggs and Vicky Smith.
Vicky Baker.
Vicky Baker and...
Carol Smith, right.
Yes, and then...
we have...
Driving down the road, I have trouble at my age. I'm going to be 87 next month.
Mashallah. Wonderful. No, I'm remembering Janice, who does the...
Janet does a neat embroidery
stitch work. And then her husband does something.
And then Phyllis Taylor does...
Phyllis, of course. Old
excellent
time there.
Realism. And,
yeah. So come on over to the Tempo Gallery. A lot of the artists will be there, and check out Ed Peterson's work. Thank you so much for coming in, Ed.
What an honor. Thank you.
Take care. I've got some music from Lauren Sheehan. Lauren is going to be playing on Thursday the 9th at Bread and Ocean in Manzanita. And this is, it's a dinner and a concert. And you do need a reservation. If you're interested, 6 o'clock Thursday the 9th. Give me a call and I will let you know. It's George Reddish is the person you need to be talking to. Here's Lauren Sheehan. Wonderful.
In the wee midnight hours, long about the break of day. was in the wee midnight hours, long about the break of day, a day, a day, when the blues creep down on you and carry your mind away, away, away. Has your mind been a rambling back in the days of long ago, ago, ago? Has your mind been a rambling back in the days of long ago, ago, ago? Back to the one that you love, but you don't see them anymore, no more, no more. Ski-dee-dee-wo-wo-dee-wo-wo, wo-dee-wo-dee-wo-dee-wo-dee-wo-dee-wo.
Well, the truth is that that Lauren Sheehan plays some really upbeat music, too. So you can get a feel of all her music. Give a call to George Reddish, 503-368-5823. If you need the number, call me after the show at 4 o'clock. It's Manzanita Bread and Ocean, but you can't just show up because it is a dinner. So, and now I have a very exciting group of people who are here because three of them are local artists who have been honored to receive the Coastal Oregon Artist Residency. This is the third annual. The first year it was two people. Second year it was two people. And this year it's three people. I think it was Bonnie Gorsuch, maybe alone. Maybe it was 213, but it's three artists, and they are in different disciplines. And I'm going to let them tell you how they're going to work, but I'll introduce them. Wenda Vorse. Hi, Wenda. Remember?
Hello.
Oh, how about I turn the microphones on? That helps. Good. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. And Kara Miko.
Hello.
Hello. And Stephen Shoemaker.
Howdy.
Of Napa. Kara's in Nehalem and Wenda is in Astoria. So, wow, that's very cool. We have from Napa all the way to Nehalem. That's lovely. And then my fourth guest is, and he also may be an artist. I know nothing about him. He can tell us. But Scott Meathy is here. He's the operations supervisor of Recology Western Oregon. And if you're going, what? That's because you've never heard the term before, because I don't think it existed before. Somebody made it up. Am I right, Scott?
Yeah.
In San Francisco, maybe? Or
Recology, yeah.
Coming a little bit.
San Francisco-based company, yeah.
Right. So can you tell us what Recology is? Because let me just mention, this artist residency, Coastal Oregon Artist Residency, is a collaboration, there's that word again, between the Astoria Visual Arts and Recology Western Oregon. So we all know about Astoria Visual Arts because they are so active doing everything all over the place. But Recology, I'm going to ask Scott to explain what that is and what are you guys doing making art? Because I thought you were about garbage.
Well, actually, we are we're a company based on we see the world without waste. And so, you know, this is our opportunity for people to come in and look at what we collect, you know, on the trash routes and the recycling routes, and take that and turn it into art, just to show the world what we can do with something that they're throwing out.
And how long has Recology and this concept been around?
Well, honestly, I don't know about the whole company as far as this program. We just started it, like you said, three years ago. This is my first involvement in it.
Okay.
To this point.
Do you know how long Recology itself, because that term, I think, just popped up a few years ago. It used to be Western Oregon Waste.
Right. We were Western Oregon Waste. And about 10 years ago, we were bought out by Recology out of San Francisco.
Okay. So that's the answer. Yeah. About 10 years ago. But only 3 years ago did the local Recology decide to partner with AVA. And it has been fabulous. Each year I've had the artists on, and I have been thrilled to see what they're doing. So is it a lot of work for you, Scott, from the Recology point of view?
No, not for me personally. No, that's all dependent upon them going out there and finding what they need to create the art for us.
Okay.
Or for themselves.
So now picture three really good-looking artists climbing over garbage piles, and they're big piles, aren't they? I mean, what do you tell us?
We're not actually allowed to climb on the pile.
I'm sorry, Karen.
I know.
How do you get your garbage?
We do stand next to them and are dwarfed by their size, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So now you've already started. When did you start?
We started about a month ago. Right.
Yes, we started about a month ago, and it's been a lot of fun digging through the garbage. You never know what you're going to find, and it all leads to different types of art.
Now, Wenda, you were working with recycled stuff already.
Yes, I've been doing recycled art and creating different things from garbage for up to 30 years. It's always been a fun thing for me to do.
Where were you when I needed you? I may still bring you over to my house after you finish this.
I can make
after this
make
residency.
About anything.
That sounds good. So when you heard about this residency, you thought it might be a...
Oh, I thought that the residency was made for me. You know, I've been practicing all my life for this moment to arrive, and I'm telling you what, it's fun, a lot of fun.
So what do you wear when you go out there? Any one of you three can jump in on this, by the way.
Well, we have to wear a hard hat
and
a vest you can see from Mars, and steel-toed shoes with shanks.
Oh.
And I wear dresses if I feel like it. I wear pants. It's just, it's very casual.
It's very casual. So you're not allowed to climb up on top of the pile, Kara, but how do you get to the art then? I mean, to the stuff that you make into. You can turn that a little bit.
Yeah, so the there, like Stephen said, there's huge piles that are at least, I want to say, 20 feet high, maybe bigger. And so it's a safety issue to not climb on them because things can topple.
Yeah.
But things are coming in at such a rapid pace that really you just go, and every time I've been there so far, somebody has dropped off something amazing, and I just pull it off the front of the pile.
And you're wearing gloves.
Wearing gloves.
and you just grab it.
You just grab it and pull it
out.
Yeah. And we're not supposed to open bags. So there's no, hopefully, there's no danger of catching anything weird.
Right.
It is a really intense experience, but it is also really inspiring.
How much time do you usually spend?
Well, I have a really small car, so I get just wait until my car is full. And it really, there's so much there, it doesn't take that long. So I would say maybe half an hour to actually get the stuff. And then, you unload it, and then you're putting it in the studio space. And then I spend 6 hours or so in the studio.
Where is the studio? Is that part of Recology too?
Yeah.
Aha, the plot thickens.
Yes, there's a bay out at Recology where we have all of our junk and are able to build what we want. I'm working on a table and some wheels from the garbage cans. I'm making them into flowers. I was making a dog out of a mailbox, but as soon as I put legs on it, it looks like a cow, so that's what
there
I'm going
go.
With now.
That I was going to ask you, did you come in, Steve? Feel free. And you're a photographer by background.
Right. So my
your job,
my
here
roles,
is different.
It's a little different. I'm not using the studio space in the same way that Kara and Wenda are. I'm focused on photographing and creating a video project around their process, actually, of creating art. I've always enjoyed kind of knowing the whole start to finish process of how art is created from different people. People have such a different take on it.
Mm-hmm.
My personal process is very kind of technical and kind of heady. I put a lot of thought into things, and I met so many artists that have the complete polar opposite way of working. I find that fascinating. And so I think it's so much fun to be around and collaborate with other artists on this kind of thing.
Well, I'm thinking, considering what Wenda just said, it is the polar opposite, isn't it?
Or
perhaps it's just the other side of the spectrum, because even with your photography, sometimes you'll be out doing something and you may have something. I mean, I'm asking, I'm not telling, because I don't know. You may have something in mind, but then you come upon something else that grabs you. And
oh, absolutely. I think, and I don't think I'm alone in this, a lot of photographers experience this, that the best work you do is when you've given up for the day and you're walking back to your car, and then you see something else.
Nice.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to this next month working out at the Recology studio with you. It's a former paint studio, and so I find the environment just really interesting also. There's just paint colors splattered all over the walls and floor, which I think is really fun. And a lot of just when I've been out picking at the transfer station with Wenda, her enthusiasm and excitement for this is so contagious. She just has so much fun out there. And so it's gotten me really interested in building something more tangible as well also. So it's rubbing off on me,
the
collection and the assemblage. And I think it's fun. Yeah.
The documentor may become one.
It may become more Gonzo style as I get more involved. Right?
That's great. Kara, what is your art form?
Well,
first let's tell people what you do.
Yeah.
You do have a day job.
I do.
You're the program director for the Cannon Beach Arts Association and Gallery.
I am.
So.
And I actually am doing this, part of this project is going to the proceeds will support my organization. So portion of the sales. So I'm hoping that that will encourage people to buy some of the work if they weren't encouraged by the artistic prowess
We didn't even get to that. So what you're saying is after you have, when your residency is coming to an end, there will be a show of some sort?
Exactly,
Okay. So maybe some of this stuff has to be small enough to fit in other people's cars too, huh?
Exactly.
So or maybe even in their houses. Or in their yards.
Yeah. And it's been a struggle, because I think artistically I definitely think differently than I do if I'm thinking about what somebody might buy. So it's been this struggle for me to really strip away the, okay, is somebody going to buy this, and just think about the process and the materials that are there, and really make something that speaks to the point of the residency, which for me is definitely about reducing waste. And I think that process it's been really inspirational, because I definitely live that lifestyle already of minimal consumption and recycle, reduce, reuse, all of those things. But really seeing how and why things end up in the waste stream.
Interesting. For example?
Yeah. So one of the things I was just thinking about when I was there a few days ago was that it's one thing to say I'm a minimal consumer, but I can say that because I have an income that allows me to purchase raw, fresh vegetables, use my recycled bags. I have the time to be able to cook those vegetables, whereas somebody with four children and maybe living on a fixed income might not be able to do that. So looking at what's being thrown away, I don't think people are throwing things away because they don't care. I think it's because they don't have another choice. Mm-hmm. And so it's really made me think a lot about, climate change and why we're in the place that we're in.
So I'm thinking that, I don't know, we should have, and maybe, I don't know, Scott, you're new on this, but perhaps you have an idea of what the concept, in addition to what you said at the beginning, which was wonderful, can you give us that phrase again? Like
a world without waste.
A world without waste, yeah.
Waste zero is our motto.
Waste zero. Yeah. Okay. So what I'm thinking apropos of what Kara just said is that perhaps the work that you are all doing, all four of you in different ways, and the people who have come before, and there are other artists out there doing their own, but they don't have the advantage of a 20-foot-high garbage dump, and a fantastic studio space to work
and in. Amazing staff. The people at the Recology have just been so nice and generous with their
wonderful.
Time.
Wonderful, excellent, yes.
And I'd like to give a shout out to Casey up at the transfer station for not running over me with the front loader.
That's a good
thing. And,
you know,
we've got this thing going where doesn't push the stuff until I've gotten to look
this
at it.
This is very good. I'm glad there's communication going on because
absolutely.
That would kind of ruin the whole darn residency for everybody. But I'm thinking also that this is an education process. Kara, you just stated your own becoming more aware, but also for other people who see what you're doing, and with Stephen documenting the whole thing, lots of people will be able to see how this works. And then, oh, for heaven's sake, you know, up on the hill behind my house, ... or whatever it is, so that it's not throwing stuff away because you want to, or even because you have to, but because I have no idea what to do with this stuff. I just want it out of here. And now turn around and look and say, wow, look at that cool thing that somebody made.
Exactly. And something Danielle from the AVA actually said is that the purpose of pulling things from the dump is to really restrict you, because once you start using trash as a material, you realize that it's everywhere and it's an endless stream. And as soon as I started this residency, I went out and I started realizing how much illegal dumping happens and how much things just get thrown out windows. It's everywhere. And you really could actually never have an endless stream of materials if you reused trash to make art.
Well, in our culture, I mean, lots of not just earlier cultures, but other cultures that don't have as much have always managed to figure out how to reuse, like the kids you see rolling the bicycle wheels with a stick. That's their toy, and they love it, and it's great. And then you give them a plastic thing. Oy.
Well, I like to say that I'm cleaning up the earth one piece of art at a time. That's how I look at it.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, I'm wondering, the timing, you started a month ago, how long does this go? Do you have an idea how long you'll be involved?
We're going to be working up until October, and then the show will be on the Art Walk, second Saturday of the month.
Of October?
Yes.
Oh, okay. October 2nd, Saturday. Good. And where will it be?
I've heard that it's at the AVA studio space, but I think it's going to be dependent on the size of the materials that we make.
Right. The new AVA space. That's
by the hot dog place.
Right. Depending on if we create things that will fit through a standard door or not.
And what the weather is, you could put stuff outside as well. So the Astoria Visual Arts and Recology Western Oregon are collaborating on this extraordinary venture of Coastal Oregon Artist Residency. Now, obviously in San Francisco, well, they could. They're almost on the coast. They could call it coastal, but I'm sure they don't. No, they wouldn't. Scott, how long have you been working with Free College?
I've been there for 15 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying that you were new to this project.
Oh, no, new to this project. I've been here on the coast working for Recology, for Western Oregon Waste, and then Recology for 15 years.
So you're actually the person with the longest view, perhaps, of everybody in this, because most of us are relatively new. So what did you think when that idea came around?
I thought it was an interesting concept. I mean, we've always looked at stuff and seen, God, why are people throwing that stuff away? And then, you know, we look at, you know, things that we would see as like just something that, like a lawnmower that could be fixed, or, you know, something that can be reused. But I never looked at it as pulling stuff out to create art and for people to have an imagination, you know, looking at pieces of garbage and create something out of it. It was not something that I ever thought about. We did have some stuff come up from San Francisco, I don't know, a couple years ago, and it was a raccoon made out of old carpet. And they had an old garbage can that went along with it. And it was, you know, that's something that went right along with trash, because you always know the raccoons are knocking garbage cans over.
Oh, God, yes.
So it was a really cool old tin can, garbage can, and then this raccoon climbing out of the garbage can. It was really, really neat.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
That was a start. But that's interesting what you said about separating the functional from art. But actually, they weave together as well. Because,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
Pots, and that's house painting, all of, you know, when you go to different parts of Africa or Middle East or many places, Mexico, you know, when you see people, or the clothing.
Right.
It's all art, and it's functional at the same time.
It's true. And I think some of the materials that are dumped, actually, I know that there's a maker space here in Astoria that's like a fix it brand new. Yeah. And I think having more resources like that will help keep things out of the waste stream, because a lot of the stuff is in good condition. It just maybe needs to be fixed, or some of the things are brand new. I've found things in their packaging, and that's really hard.
Yeah,
so
hard. Yeah. And one sentence you started before made me think that when you start doing this, also, it makes us, those of us who do it, even if you're not an artist, suddenly aware, exactly, not just the brand new stuff, but whatever it is, use less plastic, make sure I'm using my bags to carry, my own bags, and I'm not getting plastic bags or paper bags. I'm carrying my cloth bag. I was just up at a church rummage sale at Peace Lutheran. They had a bunch of bags, recycle, you know, cloth, 25 cents each. You can't say you can't afford it, you know, that kind of thing. So, Steve.
Yeah, I'm also very interested in that type of kind of just behavioral modification, I guess. That's my ultimate goal in everything I create, is not just to raise awareness about reuse and recycling in a general sense, because I think in 2018, pretty much everybody's on board with that idea. It's more the nitty-gritty of how to actually do it, what things are and are not recyclable. And so part of my project is kind of learning more about the whole process of tracing, you know, if you throw something in the trash or recycling, where is it actually going, what's happening to it, what is being recycled, what's not. Both to educate myself, because I think I get things wrong too. Everybody does. So,
well,
I can hopefully pass that on.
And in the recent, very recent past, things have changed, because lots of stuff are no longer recyclable, because a certain country isn't going to take it anymore. And duh.
And I don't blame them.
I don't either. What are they going to do with the garbage? So, thank you so much for coming in, my guests from the Coastal Oregon Artist Residency, the three artists, Stephen Shoemaker, Kara Miko, and Wen DeVorce. Watch for their art coming up at Second Saturday Art Walk. And Scott Meathy, Operations Supervisor with Recology Western Oregon. Is there a website people can go to see more?
We can maybe put something on Facebook.
How about AVA?
AVA,
and I think Recology also has a spot on their website about us.
Okay. And on Facebook, I've been doing a little blog about it.
Okay, we're out of time. Thanks, folks. KMUN, Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Yes, it's Regatta Weekend. It's also the play Beauty and the Beast is over this weekend. Coaster, Astor Street Opry is happening. Day of the Dog is happening. Electric Fences.